Tyrion laughed. You're too smart to believe that. The Night's Watch is a midden heap for all the misfits of the realm. I've seen you looking at Yoren and his boys. Those are your new brothers, Jon Snow. How do you like them? Sullen peasants, debtors, poachers, rapers, thieves, and bastards, like you all, wind up on the wall, watching for grumpkins and snarks and all the other monsters your wet nurse warned you about. The good part is, there are no grumpkins or snarks, so it's scarcely dangerous work. The bad part is, you freeze your balls off, but since you're not allowed to breed anyway, I don't suppose that matters. Welcome to the White Book Podcast, the original A Game of Thrones LCG podcast. Founded in 2010 as Two Champs and a Chump, we thought it best to rename and rebrand ourselves freshly just in time for the game to keep the same in second edition. Tune in each week for your dose of strategy, discussion, jokes, and good old geek culture. A huge thank you goes out to GRRM for his amazing novels, FFG for this fantastic game, Card Game DB for getting us a start, and you, our loyal listeners, for sticking through thick and thin. Check us out on our website, Facebook, or Twitter, or email us at contact@whitebookpodcast.com and rate us on iTunes. This CC licensed music is Town Function by Spinners. Underused from Tyrion.
Yeah.
Plus, the talk about new brothers and such, I thought was, kind of a good way to segue into things for the listeners here and give them a heads up on what we've got going on.
I think that makes sense.
Yeah. So, of course, I'm Will, and Patrick is joining me this week.
Yeah.
Oh, see, and there we go. Talking all over each other. We've already got to figure out this new dynamic.
Yeah, I'm confused.
So here's the thing, listeners. We are taking the opportunity to shuffle up the teams a little bit. And we're going to be debuting next week with the new crew. We're going to have teams Honor and Glory this time, based per Tommy's suggestion on Jaime Lannister's horses, which I thought was pretty phenomenal. So let's see. I believe next week is going to be Team Honor with myself, Luke, and Roy. And then Team Glory the week after that with myself, Patrick, and Tommy. And hopefully we're going to be getting Kyle back in the rotation here on Team Glory so that he can participate. We'll see how that works with his work schedule, but we have hopes. So, looking forward to this, Patrick?
Yeah, I'm excited. It's going to be a lot of fun. Mostly excited that Aaron's not on the cast anymore. So, yeah.
Why are you so excited about that?
You know what? There's only so much Aaron that one can tolerate in a period of time. And I built a lot of decks with him in preparation for Gen Con, so I'm due for a good Aaron break.
Yeah, but what if you start like having Aaron withdrawal or something?
No, I don't think that exists. I don't think you can. I mean, maybe, but God, I hope not.
Well, fear not, listeners. You don't have to be afraid that you won't hear Aaron's dulcet tones here on the show at all. He will still be joining us for chapter pack reviews and the like, but he wanted to take a little bit of a step back. So we'll see how long that lasts, or if some of those new cards get him all fired back up again, and then he just can't contain himself to only the Second Sons.
I don't know if Aaron has ever contained himself ever in his life.
That's true. Very true.
So what are we doing today, Will? What's happening on this Skeleton Crew cast?
Yeah, well, we're going to take this transitional week to do something we haven't done in a long time, and that is going to be to do a deck build. Patrick and I are going to get cracking with some cards, but we had some big news today that I think Patrick wanted to hit on first before we get into the deck.
Yeah, the spoilers, right? That's what we're talking about?
That is indeed.
Just today, I believe, or very recently, as per this... No, it was a couple days ago, I guess. God, so far behind. All of the cards in Chapter Pack 3 were spoiled in Chinese. And thankfully, considering that I don't speak Chinese or read Chinese... They were translated by some of our lovely community members. And so we have basically all of Chapter Pack 3 now spoiled. For this deck build, we're not going to be using those cards just because they're not in Throne ZB and it's kind of going to be a hassle. But we will kind of mention them on occasion and the ones that we're looking forward to slotting in this deck.
Sounds pretty reasonable to me. Now, speaking of new cards and things that are in Thrones DB, I feel like we should also clarify something else for the listeners on that front. And that is that we are going to use spoiled cards from the Lanny box. We have nearly the whole thing now. What are we sitting at? 40-something? 41 cards?
Yeah, something like that. 50? 52, yeah. I think we're missing, like 1, 2, 3... 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 cards. Missing 11 cards. So, yeah, 41 out of 52. That's pretty good. We're getting there.
Seems pretty worthwhile to me. So, hopefully that means that the box is about to drop on us at any moment, and we're itching for some new stuff to use. So, we're going to go ahead and jump on that, listeners.
So, yeah.
We've got it called up here in Thrones DB. We had kicked around a little bit beforehand about what we were actually going to build tonight. And we wanted to do something new, or newish anyway. So what did we settle on there, Patrick?
Well, we wanted to do something with the new agendas, and since Reigns isn't out yet, probably didn't want to do that one, so we decided to do either a Kings of Summer or Kings of Winter, and we narrowed it down to what I personally think are the two best decks for those agendas, which are Night's Watch Kings of Winter or Tyrell Kings of Summer, and we decided on Tyrell Kings of Summer, just, I don't really know why, but just because, so...
Yeah,
James Walmsley. That's it. That's exactly why. Just for him.
Well, I was going to say that I agree that those are probably the houses that kind of fit that the best right off the bat because they have ways to either use or mitigate the effects of the agendas to greater extent. And I feel like a lot of people jumped straight to Night's Watch Winter, and who doesn't love trying to make Tyrell actually work, right?
I certainly do. I love Tyrell. Tyrell is probably my favorite or second favorite faction in this game, and I've been really sad that I haven't been able to play them yet because they've just been not good. So...
I feel you there. They're my second favorite, and actually were a faction that I desperately wanted to play in first edition. Well, I should say in the CCG when I very first started the game. So it's good to see them as their own faction now, and we'll see if eventually they are fully playable, shall we say. Competitively playable, I guess.
Yeah. Is your favorite faction Lannister?
It's Lannister, yeah.
Yeah,
followed by Tyrell.
Not surprising. My favorite, in case anybody's wondering, is not Lannister. I get people asking me that a lot, if my favorite faction's Lannister. I actually hate Lannister. I really don't like playing them, but I'm just such a Jaime that I play them all the time because I think they're the best. So, but I think that's changing, and I'm excited. The winds of change are blowing.
And they are impressive winds indeed.
Indeed. And ideally, they're blowing in Tyrell's favor.
So they're winds of summer rather than winds of winter.
Yep, exactly. The winds of summer. A song of winter.
The hot, putrid, humid winds of summer.
Yep.
Yeah. Also, nifty little tidbit here. I think this is actually the first time that Patrick and I have built a deck together, if I'm remembering right. Is it?
That sounds true.
Okay.
But well, maybe maybe a dedicated listener will link us a podcast where we built a deck together and we'll both look foolish.
It is possible. It is always possible. I've been called out a few on reusing opening quotes. So
yeah, well, I mean, that's the thing about like listening, being on a podcast versus listening to one. Cause like when you're listening to a podcast, sometimes you'll listen to episodes that are like months or like years old and then listen to like the newest one and be like, hey, you guys said the same thing. And we're like, well, for us, that was a year ago. So we really don't remember what happened then.
Yeah, yeah, it's kind of trippy. I actually was listening to a podcast about Patreon earlier today, right? And looking to get some kind of info and, you know, make sure we set this up properly when we do it for our cast. And they mentioned at some point during the show, like, oh, wow, that's amazing. It's 2014 and you can still get paid by a physical check? I realized, wow, I am way back in their archives.
Wow, yeah. Yep, classic podcast problem.
Yeah.
So Tyrell, so, Kings of Summer.
Yeah, we're going to get cracking. That's where it's at.
Going to get cracking.
Okay.
With no cracking.
Yeah, no actual cracking. The Tyrell cracking, yeah. That's for melee.
Yep, for sure. So I guess I think that a key thing to discuss before we start this is what kind of direction we want to go with this deck. Do we want it to be kind of like a Weenie Knights Rush, kind of similar to the Lords of the Crossing? Do we want it to be like a Varus deck? Do we want it to be just like a big guys kind of Knights deck, maybe? We now have some bigger knights, those Knights of the Summer and stuff like that, or what are you thinking?
Oh, yeah, actually, it's funny you mentioned the Knight of Flowers. Man, you might have just actually...
Knight of Summer, you mean?
Change. Yeah, Knight of Summer. Whoops. You might have just changed my mind there. I got to play with them in a melee game fairly recently, and really came to love that 5-strength Bicon Renown for only 4. I was going to suggest going the Varus route to really try to leverage our card advantage, but I love the Knights.
Yeah, and I think that we definitely have to pick one or the other because the Knights do a lot of putting power on Knights, and they're all non-unique, so we can't dupe them or anything. So kind of counterintuitive with Varus there. So yeah, I'm all aboard. If you want to do the night version,
okay. Yeah, we'll jump on the night train. Okay.
All right. Cool.
So if we're going that way, then I guess that means are we just going to go ahead and just start right there and drop 3 in the deck? That's our first starting point.
3 Knight of Summer.
Okay. Awesome. Well, that sounds rad to me.
Yeah.
Okay. What is up?
Do you want to just go down the list, or do you want to go like in order of importance?
You know, I'm tempted to just go ahead and go down the list. Just work down the character list here as we're looking at it.
Yeah. You want to let's alternate off and say whether or not we want them in.
Okay, well, since I went ahead and started with the Knight of Summer and knocked it way out of order, how about you take the first one?
All right, so the first one is one of the Tyrell cards from the Lannister box, and that is Allery Tyrell. And for those of you who aren't keeping up with the spoilers, she's a 4-cost, 3-strength, non-loyal character with an intrigue and a power icon. She is House Hightower and a lady, and she has the reaction, after Allery Tyrell enters play, search the top 10 cards of your deck for a Tyrell character with printed cost 3 or lower, reveal it, and add it to your hand, shuffle your deck. I think we definitely want a copy of her in here. I think she's just a really solid one of. We're probably going to have a lot of little knights, and her going to fetch those seems pretty good.
I would definitely agree. One feels like the right copy of her. We're going to want some ladies in the deck. And, of course, not only can she grab some of the smaller knights, as you said, but she also grabs the all-important Marjorie Tyrell.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, indeed.
Yeah. And effectively playing like 0.75 extra copies of Marjorie's. Pretty much.
Now, the real pro play is we hit their trading with Summer Harvest, and then we play Hobber Redwine to search our deck for a lady, grab Allery, play her, search the top 10 for Marjorie, and play her, and then just throw our hands up in victory while our opponent concedes immediately.
That is living the dream. Yep. I mean, what are they going to do against
exactly?
That,
there's no stopping it. Unless
finally the combo that Tyrell was waiting on.
It's all they've been missing, really. Tier 1 confirmed.
Okay, so next up we've got the Arbor Knights. He's a knight. He's a weenie. At the moment, if we're leaning into the knight direction, I'm tempted to start with 3 of him. But I could be convinced to maybe bump down to 2 later. His effectiveness seems to have moved on a bit in the current meta.
I think I'm fine starting with a 3 of him. I think it depends where we are when we get to Marin Heat and whether we want to throw a couple of those in here, because that ups his value a lot.
Yeah, that's fair.
But we are probably going to have a lot of money, so we're probably going to be able to trigger his action pretty frequently.
That's fair. That is something for us to do with the extra funds that we're going to have. So, yeah, I like that.
Yep. All right, and the next up is Butterbumps. I think this card is an automatic one of in every Tyrell deck from now until he cycles out, probably. Just a really solid card.
Not to.
Yep, you don't want more than one of him, because he dies to claim pretty often, and Valor's coming out pretty soon, but your win and intrigue challenges a lot, and he draws cards, so that's good.
Yeah, and we want extra card draw to be able to really utilize that boosted reserve, so
yep.
I'm all for it.
Yep.
Okay, kicks us over to Courtesan of the Rose. There's still some aspects I like about her. I don't feel like this deck needs her in the weenie slot, though.
I am in agreement. I think we're going to have too many low-cost knights to want to slot her in.
Yep.
So that brings us to another Landy Box card, the Devout Free Rider, who's a neutral character. And basically, is during the challenges phase, each player cannot gain gold. That we don't need him. We don't want him. He's not a knight. So, move right past him.
Yep. All right. We're getting some easy ones here. Garden Caretaker, 3 of.
Yep.
No reason not to.
Hedge Knight, 3 of. We got a lot of knights.
Yep. Okay, well, that kicks us back over to a Lanny Box card again with the neutral High Septon. And he has kind of an interesting ability. Again, for folks that haven't been following the spoilers, he's a 6-cost neutral, 5-strength, intrigue and power icons, the 7, and he has an interrupt. When an opponent chooses a character you control as the only target of a triggered ability, choose an eligible the 7 character you control to become the target of that triggered ability instead, limit once per phase. I actually have to say I am tempted to consider a copy if we're going to have that extra gold. that we're talking about, and we're going to be having power floating around on these knights. I do kind of like a way to protect them and to potentially protect ones like Knight of Summer that can't have things like duplicates or bodyguards.
Oh, that's fair. But I mean, the seven card that we're going to have would be him. So we're basically, we're spending six gold on what is essentially going to be a bodyguard. And that, it just seems like too much and not enough value. I feel like we'd be better off just playing more knights out instead of him.
He is expensive, but he also does get to participate in challenges.
He does.
I don't think it's going to be often that they just immediately target, you know, a Knight of Summer with three power on it, and we, you know, pull the trigger on his sacrifice.
I mean, it's fair enough. Yeah. I don't know. I don't think he does enough. I think if there were like some Knights of the Seven that we could have in here as well, I would be much more convinced. But I just don't.
If maybe that Devout Freerider was also a knight.
Yeah. I could maybe be okay with one copy for now, but I think we're gonna end up cutting him later. I think we're just gonna have too many good high cost characters that we're gonna want.
Well, let's throw in one for now, sure. Since I got you to acquiesce to that.
I think, yeah.
And I'm fine with him being fairly high on the cut list.
Yeah. So next up is Hot Pie. I think he's in, is he in the chapter pack 3?
Oh, he's he's in for Family and Honor.
Okay, so that's not out yet, but he has been spoiled in English. I don't know if we want to talk about him. Either way, I don't think he goes in the deck because we don't have enough companions.
I think we can move on. I don't think we need him. We already passed on the Courtesan of the Rose, which would have been a companion.
Right. So. It's a different direction to go with the deck.
Okay, so that sends us back to a knight, the House Florent Knight, which is a card that I am continually torn about. I really like what it does and the way it kind of offers you a way to play around with strength that matters. It's another knight, so it fits in with what we're doing. He's got an intrigue icon, which I like to kind of keep our spread, well, a spread. But too often, unless I'm really building the deck around him, I feel like too often I wind up having to hit something of my own.
Yep, I agree 100%. I also don't think we're playing like an aggressive enough deck that he's actually going to matter. I have a feeling we're going to be caring a lot more about power than about character attrition. So even if we discard their Chud, it's really not going to matter in the long run. And we have better costed knights. And okay. I think definitely are passing on the House Maester. No reason to have him.
Yep.
We've already got three Knight of Summer.
Yep. I guess that sends me over to Lady in Waiting. We have mentioned we're going to want a couple ladies in there. I know we're going to want Marjorie. Yep. When we get to her, we've got Allery. I don't know that we go past that at the moment, though. And when we're going to have Allery for search, and I assume we're going to have the twins as well, we're going to get into duplicates pretty quickly. So I'm not sure Lady in Waiting is necessary.
I think right now, I agree. I think when Valor comes out, she might be a card to look back at and reconsider. But for now, I'm totally fine leaving her out.
Okay.
I really wish she were a lady herself.
That would really help.
I was hoping it's in her freaking name, but
yeah, I thought Tyrell was gonna get some sweet like lady theme kind of when I saw her and Lady Sansa's Rose and such.
Yeah.
But I haven't quite gotten the follow through with that I was expecting.
Yeah, we really need some more good ladies out of Tyrell.
Tina Meriwether, I need her.
I think she's going to be a Lannister card. She's too buddy buddy with Cersei to be a Tyrell
come on.
Card.
We know she was working for the Tyrell.
Well, we'll see. Maybe she's one of the unspoiled cards in the Lanny box. Who knows?
Maybe she could be the first dual house card we get in second.
Now that would be interesting. That'd happen.
Be baller.
Yeah.
Okay, so back to this deck, though.
Yeah, back to this deck. I think we're going to skip on left and right. I don't think we need nor want them. They're not knights, so I don't really care.
Yeah. They don't fit with our theme. They're way too defensively minded. You mentioned earlier that this isn't going to be an aggressive deck, and I feel like that should be clarified more along the lines of the card attrition that you also mentioned there. I think it will still be fairly aggressive, but much more on the power gain, power rush side of the aggression scale. And they just don't fit.
Yeah, I agree.
So Littlefinger, he gives us more income. He gives us a couple cards. He's not a knight, but I still have a hard time building a deck without one Littlefinger.
I think we're going to have plenty of card draw and plenty of income without him. If you want one of him, you can cut the High Septon to give one of him. I'll allow that.
Oof. Okay, I'm willing to do that. I'll trade a Littlefinger for a High Septon.
All right.
Littlefinger, I think, has a more broad
application.
Application. Yeah.
I think I just that High Septon is, he's too expensive of a meat shield. Like six costs for a meat shield is just way too much.
Yeah, we need like a one drop
seven. Like I would rather play like a wildling horde just to like stop them from winning the military challenge by five to play that put to the sword on our knight or whatever they're gonna do. But anyway, we'll get to that later. Maester Llamas is an easy skip. It's a bad card.
I think Mance Raider is also an easy skip. We don't want wildlings.
We don't want wildlings, but he does have Renown. And Renown is always good.
He does. He also has a Winter Plot ability, which is not really what we're doing.
I mean, so. I don't think we're ever going to trigger his ability. But just simply having a 7-cost character as a Tricon would be fine. And he's also a king, for what that matters. But I think this conversation is irrelevant as soon as the next chapter pack comes out, because the spoiled Renly is just 100% a better version of what I want here. And I'm thinking about for Mance Raider, just a big Tricon with Renown.
Yeah.
So. But we'll skip Mance Raider.
That sounds fair.
Marjorie Tyrell. The only question here is two or three. And the only reason it's even a question is because some people do play Ward, and it's just terrible. When they ward your Marjorie and then kill her, it just breaks your heart. But I and also Ill in Pain. I am still personally leaning three. Just because she's so good and we want those ladies. What do you think?
I agree with that 100%. I think we still want three in this deck. We go ahead, get a save on her as quick as we can to try and get an extra turn or two of use against Dylan Payne and just kind of hope for the best with Ward.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah. Well, I mean, timing-wise... then we can always not make the military. We can maybe look at
having
confiscation in the plot deck. And if they flip into a plot like next turn to get rid of her, well, Wildfire's the only option at the moment that's permanently getting rid of her. So, you know, if they march her or use Fallen from Favor, she's discarded. So we can
play those other play two copies. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Okay. Three March. Okay, then we've got Olenna's Informant. You know, this may be a little bit of a surprise, but I'm actually tempted to run two of her in this deck as a way to get an extra power challenge to maybe seal the deal on a game. And hopefully we're going to have the income that, you know, we can potentially nab that four for ambush without being too obvious, you know, that we're for going doing something else.
I 100% agree with that. I was also going to say two of.
Oh, okay. Awesome. Yeah. I figured that would be one of my more contentious bits.
Yeah, I really like Elena's informant in general, and I like her in this deck. I think especially with the whole like Lady Sansa's Rose and Knights attacking alone, if you can get people to like commit and kneel out to all of your challenges and then play in Elena's informant and do a surprise additional challenge, it's often a really great way to win that challenge attacking alone. Because,
oh yeah,
yeah,
great point. Or get them to kneel out to defend the one guy that you sent, and then potentially throw, you know, three other renowned people into the second challenge to go ahead and go over the top.
Absolutely.
I do have to say, I think she's one of the best cards that Tyrell actually has.
I agree. She's a very solid card. Paxter Redwine, I think he's still one of. I think that gold is always beneficial. And I don't think we're going to be running a lot of events, but we will be certainly running Lady Sansa's Rose and probably a couple other one-cost events. And that's, you know, he's giving us plus two economy then if we're using him. And also be able to forget that he exists and are like, oh, you have no gold. You can't play Lady Sansa's Rose. And then you're like, yes, I can. And I'll win the game now. Thank you.
Yes. Yeah. I still think he's worth a copy.
Yep.
Pyromancers, not the deck for that.
Nope.
Not the meta for that.
Nope. Yeah. Pyromancers are... Unless you're playing Arianne, I don't think you can play Pyromancers. So that brings us to Randall Tarley, who I think is an automatic three of.
Yeah, not a knight, but especially if we've already gone in that hard on Marjorie and we want power gain, like, we're pretty much fools to not
absolutely
go in on Tarley.
I mean, he is a power gaining beast.
Rattleshirt's Raiders. I do think there's a couple attachments that we're wary of in the meta right now. So I think a copy or two of Rattleshirt's Raiders is probably appropriate.
I agree. I want it to be two, but I have a feeling it's going to end up having to be cut down to one. But I'm fine starting it at two copies.
Okay. Sounds good.
And right again, skipping left and right.
You can go ahead and read the next card if you
sure,
want.
Sure, yeah.
Already established.
Rose Road Patrol, another one we're going to take a hard pass on. That card is still not very good, especially when you have the likes of Tywin and the Mountain. Their games are... There's just no chance you're going to have a character with the highest strength.
Yeah, yeah. That's heading down a different weird musing, but it is odd to see that one house gets a Strength Matters theme announced, and then all of the highest strength cards are given to a different house.
Yeah.
So then we've got Sir Colin of Greenpools, who I hear is a loyal
card. Sure is.
So we should definitely play one copy of him.
Yep.
He's not worth more than
absolutely agree. Hobber Redwine, another solid one of. Gotta get that big combo going. So
yeah.
He's definitely one of.
Horus, I'm tempted to run two of though, but we may be running pretty low on slots.
Yeah. I think that he's a one of at most. I am not even convinced that we include him at all. He might just be too expensive.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know. I think that he's okay and he's really good with Marjorie, but I mean, he's good. I say we put one of, but I don't want more than one. Okay. I don't think.
Okay. I'm definitely fine with one.
Because we are playing summer plots, they do have, we basically have consistently good gold, but unless we can hit a really high plot with Summer Harvest, we don't have, like, crazy gold. Like, we don't have trading with Pentoshi. So if we start off and we've got a hand that's, like, a bunch of 5 and 6 cost characters, we're just kind of boned, because we can't play more than one of them a turn with our Summer plots.
Okay. I mean, I don't know that we'll go 100% summer plots and not have room for something like that, but
yeah.
I mean, your concerns on our cost curve are valid.
Yeah. So
I think
that's me. So Sirio, I personally love Sirio, salt of the earth, but I don't think he fits in this deck. I just said I'm already having concerns about our cost curve, and I see at least one or two more high cost characters that I'm gonna want. So I think I am personally gonna want to pass on Sirio. How do you feel?
He is one of the cards I am sorely tempted by, and if we do scare up a slot, I would be very interested in putting him in there, because doing something like giving Randall Tarly stealth is just sick.
It's not bad.
Yeah. But on the back of that cost curve issue, I think I can be talked into skipping him when I know the next card is one that we want.
Yeah.
And the next one is the Knight of Flowers, which I think the way we're going with this deck, we probably go three of, but
oh, yeah.
I could maybe see it. Okay.
At least until Valor, we definitely go three of him. Maybe okay. that might change things, and we might be more wary of him dying, but I am 100% let's go nuts, full on Knight of Flowers. Next up is the Queen of Thorns, and I actually want a one of her in this deck.
Really?
Yes. Just
man, I'm just not feeling that. But tell me your reason.
So one of my chief reasons is that she's a lady, and we always want more ladies. Marjorie's awesome, but there are games where you're not gonna be able to find her. Secondly. Her ability is pretty solid, and I think we are, with the draw we're having and the fact that I think we're going to be, you know, we're not going to be character light per se, I think that we could utilize her effects to pretty good use, and we should have the money to play her when we need to. And also she does help with those Olenna's informants, being able to not have to save the gold and getting one of them in for a surprise go, but you're not convinced.
Yeah, I mean, I do like the informants play. I think the need for an additional lady is probably one of the most convincing to me. We're not real heavy on the intrigue icon here. So part of me does worry that we might need the Marjorie already in play to win the intrigue with the Queen of Thorns.
Well, but another thing, I mean, if we, you know, if you have the Queen of Thorns, even if you can't win the intrigue challenge, you are making your opponent defend the intrigue challenge, which then opens the door for you to maybe win that power challenge that you actually care more about.
All right. Let's drop one queen in and kind of see if everything we're looking at survives. We're 33 characters, which I think is not a bad place to be with her.
Yep.
That of course is me sort of telegraphing that I'm not terribly interested in any of the remaining cards.
Yeah, the only one that I would consider would be maybe the Wardens of the Reach. They are a pretty good body to have.
Yeah, but I feel like the Knights of Summer are already kind of filling that solid
non-unique
body role.
Yeah. I would agree with that. I mean, yeah, that's fair. I might want. What's our cost curve looking like here? Let me.
Plus, if we are a little worried about cost, like I see better arguments for some of the other things, like say Sirio, that can really play into some of the things we're doing, versus Wardens, which is just another four cost body with military and power icons.
Yeah, that's true. Well, let's leave it where we are now, and we can come back to it.
Okay. Well, what direction do we want to go next, card type wise?
Let's go to locations.
Sorry, that cut out a little bit.
Let's go to locations.
Okay, that sounds fair.
All right, so do we want to do it in the same kind of format? Or do we want to just hit on the important ones? Because I don't know how many of these are going to be taken here.
Yeah, probably not a ton. I mean, I guess it is worth mentioning, like, there's two big ones here, I feel like, that we need to address.
Yeah.
And I hate to say it, but I think I am against both of them. That is the Arbor and Bitterbridge Encampment. I feel like we needed to plan the deck a little differently from the get-go if we were going to jump in on the Arbor. And Bitterbridge Encampment, I'm just still not convinced.
I actually think that we should include the Arbor. I think that the Arbor is just always a solid card for Tyrell to have. I think it's really good post-Valor. Which is going to be in a couple months here. But right now, I think it's just always nice to have your economy like completely stabilized. And if we do get that Mander going or, you know, drawing from the pleasure barges, having that extra money and being able to just flood out the board is going to be really effective for us. And I think it gives us staying potential, kind of. This deck gets hit pretty hard still by First Snow of Winter. And the Arbor really gives us a way to...
With the cost curve we're looking at, though?
Not nearly as bad as it used to. We certainly have some high-cost characters. And the Knights of Summer super help. But we do still have a lot of cheap knights. And we really don't want to kill a lot of our... I don't know. I mean, it's certainly... I think it's way more resilient than, like, the Lords of the Crossing decks were. But I think we still... I don't know. I like the Arbor. I like having that stable economy. I think we have enough. We're gonna have enough money from the summer plots that playing the Arbor is not gonna be a big deal for us. We can play the Arbor and a Chud Knight pretty easily, and then I think we're just in a really great position from there.
How many copies of the Arbor then?
I think three copies. I think we basically just play the Arbor. Instead of playing Rose Roads. The way that I would do it would be three Arbor, three Rose Gardens, and three King's Roads for our limited economy.
Interesting.
We might not even need all nine limiteds. But I think that's where I would go with it. I would even be okay probably cutting a King's Road. If we need to, because we do have so much money.
I'm pretty wary of doing that. I don't know. I'm torn here on the Arbor. I mean, I like it in general, but I sort of feel like, I mean, it's a card that obviously does much better for you the earlier
for
you
sure.
have it, and you can get that return on investment. And as you mentioned to us when we were talking about our character base, we do have some issues playing potentially, you know, multiple things.
Yeah. So you know, when you're
looking at the Arbor and a Chud, that's fine. But that's the same argument of playing one of our bigger characters and
right.
Chud. We're definitely not playing the Arbor and...
but
most turns.
Once we play the Arbor, we can play all the big dudes we want. So I think...
Sure, but is the Arbor worth it then if you're playing it on turn three?
I think so. I think...
Interesting. Would you be willing to run building orders
no,
to search?
I would not, because I want more summer plots than that. I think that I'm also going to want at least two or three pleasure barges. And I think that the Arbor is very beneficial if you're playing pleasure barge.
I was leaning toward two pleasure barges myself. But we could, gosh, part of me would want to try the Arbor and see if we can go up to three pleasure barges, but the barge is definitely not something we really want to see and or mess with.
Oh, for sure. I think two barges is fine, but I still want the Arbor. I mean, it's just, it's such a stable piece of economy. Like, as soon as you play it, you're fine. You're set on economy.
Sort of. The next turn after
You play, I mean,
you're set.
Like a Rose Road, it doesn't give you economy right away, but once you invest that turn.
Sure, but I'm not taking my turn of marshalling.
I don't think we're taking our turn off of marshalling to play the Arbor. I think in this deck, we're going to have enough money with our plots that the Arbor shouldn't be our whole marshalling phase. I think we should. I think as long as we have a 3-cost character, even a 4-cost character some of the time, we should be able to play the Arbor and another character without much trouble.
I still say that it feels to me like that's the opposite argument from what you made when we were discussing characters, but tell you what, in the interest of actually
part of
the deck tonight, I'll give in. We'll let the listeners weigh in on whether that was the right call or not.
Well, part of the reason I was arguing that for characters was that I knew I wanted the Arbor, and so I didn't want more expensive characters to interfere with my Arbor. So when I...
You should have brought that
up. When I said there are a couple more big characters I was looking at, one of those big characters was the Arbor. So...
Okay, I see.
I've had ulterior motives for a while.
Okay. That's fine then. Okay, so at the moment we're looking at 3 Arbor, 3 Rose Garden, 3 Kings Road, 2 Pleasure Barge. Bitterbridge Encampment, especially for this deck where we're not planning on wiping the stuff your opponent puts into play off the board, I think is the wrong call.
A definite no.
So what else do we need to look at here? There's at least 2, maybe 3 more that.
Yeah, I would like to play a one of Street of the Sisters. I think that we care about power enough that we want that.
Yeah, that's the one that was on my maybe list. So I'm glad you mentioned it first.
And what was another one you were thinking about?
And we probably do want at least one Mander in there, right? Though I'm leaning toward 2.
Yeah, I think we either play 2 Mander, or we play 1 Mander and a copy or 2 of Support of the People to go find it. I think we've already decided that we're capable of winning challenges by 5. It's why we're playing Street of the Sisters and the Mander. So I might lean towards that option. Maybe playing 1 Mander. We could even play like an Iron Throne to have another kind of backup location to go find with Support of the People, and then play maybe 2 copies of Support of the People.
You know, I actually do kind of like that. The Support of the People does connect nicely with Paxter Redwin as well. But is it worth the backup location being High Garden? I'm not sure this deck wants to go all in on it, but there is some potential to block something, kick out their attacker, and then play your Lady Sense Rose.
I mean, that is the dream scenario with High Garden in this deck, but I don't really think it's worth it enough to play it. I think, like, the thing is, like, if I draw a High Garden in this deck, I'm going to be a lot more disappointed than if I draw an Iron Throne, I think. Like, even just the one higher cost of High Garden, it's just, I think that I would rather have the power gain of the Iron Throne potentially than the High Garden.
Okay, that's fair. This deck, I think, does want the power So, okay. I'm willing to be a little experimental and go there. One Iron Throne, yep. One Mander. And then that pretty much handles us on locations and kicks us to the events we were just talking about.
And then we'll... Okay. Or do you want to do attachments first?
I think I would rather go ahead, since we were just talking about our event considerations.
Yeah, let's do it. I'd say three Lady Sansa's Rose right away.
Yeah.
And the two supported people as well.
Yep.
That
we were just talking
about. I think we want two copies of Growing Strong in this deck. I think
interesting.
Yeah, having
we've got some
surprise strength pumps is really helpful for winning those challenges alone, and it also helps us win challenges by five, and it stands Randall. I think just all around it's going to be a good card for us to have.
I think you actually found a deck where I'm in favor of a couple Growing Strong. I think most of the time I cut it for some other things, but it feels good here.
And the only one that I would consider other than that would be Superior Claim. I don't know how you feel about that, and I don't know how I feel about it, honestly, either. I don't know how badly I want it, but I wouldn't mind a copy or two.
I mean, gosh. Yeah, it's free, so to speak. We were just talking about like wanting to win challenges by five. I do sort of like having another like outlet in the deck, so to speak, and another reason that we actually want to win by five, which gives us more justification for growing strong. Yeah. And it gives us some flexibility where, depending on the board, we may try to snipe a single knight through to get off Lady Sansa's Rose, or just overload them for the Superior Claim, or potentially faint with a knight to see if we can get the Lady Sansa's Rose off, and then follow with the informant like we were talking about before, so that we could throw multiple characters into the second challenge. I don't know. I think this deck has a lot of ways that it might want to use it.
Yeah. So what do you think? Two copies?
I think two sounds pretty good.
So that leaves us attachments with four or five slots, depending on if we're playing 60 or 61.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's one that I already know I want one copy of. I don't think we need more than that with the other things we've got.
100% agree. I think One Heart's Bane is another card that's just probably going to be a one of in basically every Tyrell deck. It's just a really solid attachment.
Okay. Next up on that's probably Knighted. How many do we
want? I don't honestly know if we want any Knighted. I mean, the only character that it's really worth it to knight is Randall. And I don't think it's worth playing an attachment just for Randall.
Okay, that's fair. Right. At least Heartsbane potentially
does. Exactly. It's good on Knight of Flowers. It's even fine on one of our other knights if we just want them to win a challenge alone and make it hard for the opponent to defend. But that knight, it is really only good on Randall.
Yeah. Okay.
I think that I would like a couple little birds.
Interesting. I like that for some intrigue icon protection.
Yep. I mean, okay.
Yes.
I mean, Tears of Lys is still firmly a thing, and we're definitely going to be stacking power on characters that don't have intrigue icons. So, using little birds on them, I think, is going to be pretty effective. So I think I want two little birds.
Yeah, and I think it's also worthwhile to mention that throwing it on like a Knight of Flowers or a Knight of Summer or something like that.
Yeah.
So that we can attack for the intrigue ups our odds of playing Lady Sansa's favor.
Yeah, for sure.
Easier.
Other considerations, I would say possibly Marin Heat and Seal of the Hand would be ones that I would consider.
Yeah, I was thinking about suggesting one Seal of the Hand. Like, off the top of my head, there's probably three very solid targets for it, and all three copies of in the deck.
Yep. I mean, Knight of Flowers, Randall, and Marjorie are all pretty strong targets for it. And, I mean, Queen of Thorns is not great, but she's a card that can take it if worse comes to worse.
Yeah.
And plus, again, worth mentioning, once Pack 3 comes out, I mean, we can talk about this in a little bit, but once Pack 3 comes out, I'm certainly putting three copies of Renly in the deck, and he's another amazing target for Seal of the Hand. So.
Okay. Okay, so that would put us at exactly 60. Do we go to 61 with, like, a single
name? Yeah, I think so. I think probably one Marin Heat.
Yeah.
I could even go... Yeah, I don't know what I'd cut. I would maybe like two, but I don't know what I would cut right now. So in the interest of time, I'm okay with just putting in one and calling it.
We'll see how it goes. I mean, overall, I feel pretty good about this as well.
I still don't like that little finger. I'm probably going to change that.
Yeah, I was going to say, nothing jumps out at me right off the bat as worth pulling for another
minute. I really don't like that card.
Unless we went with Confiscation in the plots and then maybe went down to one Battle Shirts
Radius. I think I'm going to make an argument for Confiscation in the plot deck, but I think I still want two Rattle Shirts Raiders. I don't know if you comprehend how much Ward eats this deck. Not only do we have Marjorie, we also have Knight of the Summer. And you haven't known suffering until somebody wards a Knight of Summer that you just put three power on with Lady Sansa's Rose. That is the truest tragedy that is known to man. I had that happen to me the other night, and I almost cried.
Okay, well, it sounds like we're in a decent stopping point for the deck itself. So let's flip over there to the plots. We're definitely rolling with a Confiscation.
So before we even go any further, I'm going to say right now, I want six summer plots. I want Confiscation and six summer plots.
So you're not even going to give us the option of having a backup?
I'm sure not. I don't think this deck likes Wildfire Salt. I think we want to dump out as many knights as we can and then play the plot that gives them all renown and win the game. I think Wildfire is just a huge setback for us, and we don't want it.
Okay, so what do we have on the summer list?
Unfortunately, I think we have to play essentially every summer plot that we have. And I really have my fingers crossed that one of those two unspoiled plots in the Lanny box is a really good summer plot that can go in this deck. But
I think like I was saying before, it's a little bummer that the summer plots feel like they're all just income and not much else.
Yeah.
It makes feel a little inferior, or at least less interesting.
I'm hoping we get some kind of card advantage summer plot, because they've got all the high reserve stuff, but nothing to really make that matter. And you know, we're kind of helping that with our manders and our pleasure barges, but it would be real nice to have a summer plot that searched your deck for something or drew you some cards somehow or whatever. Anyway, I think that my plots would be, for sure, Tourney of the King.
Just one.
Yeah, I think it's just your closer.
It's potentially.
I think Calm is a good one.
Yep, I think that's still very solid.
Close call. We have a lot of three ofs. So, you know, if they do manage to kill that Marjorie or what have you, being able to get her back. And then it can draw you a card, which is nice.
Yeah, I like that potential card advantage there. Though we may be drawing less often off of it than we used to. Yeah,
certainly true, certainly true. What else are you thinking?
I mean, Summer Harvest. Absolutely. For sure, right? And unfortunately, I'm having a little difficulty getting the in-builder filter to work for me. So pulling up the other plots by Summer trait is proving more difficult than I wanted it to. What else do we have?
Song of Summer. I think I like...
Oh, how did I scroll?
I don't know. It was right in the beginning. I think I would like one of Song of Summer. I think I'm okay with that. I think it helps us win those challenges by five, giving us some extra strength. Make some of our Arbor Knights... You know, are all our little knights able to win challenges alone more effectively? If you're playing against Bera, it's super fun to stand Randall during the plot phase by playing Song of Summer.
I like it.
And then I think, if I'm not mistaken, that is all of the summer plots, and we're gonna have to double up on one for our seventh, unless I'm forgetting one.
I mean, to me, the doubling candidates are probably Song or Harvest, but I can see an argument for close call. I think either potentially getting more gold off of Summer Harvest or two turns of potential strength boost for some of our effects are probably.
I think that my two. Yeah, I think that I would say either Summer Harvest. I think I would say Summer Harvest. I think maybe post Valor, I would say double close call. But I think for right now, I would probably be more inclined to go double Summer Harvest. That way you can throw one as your opener in case, you know, they open with something big, and you can also try to catch their Pentoshi if they didn't open with it. So I think I'm good with two Summer Harvests.
Yeah, I've just noticed that a lot of folks down here have been saving their Pentoshi for turn two these days.
Yep. And I think this gives us a lot of flexibility there to potentially, you know, catch them later with it. So I like to.
Yep.
I personally am so furious with the Varus Riddle Summer Harvest ruling. I just think it's the dumbest thing in the world, but it's whatever.
Oh, I mean, I agree. For listeners that are not familiar with that, though, I'm not sure I want to beat that dead horse too hard, but for listeners that are not familiar with it, would you tell them what the ruling is so they know if they run into it?
Sure. So the basic issue, the ruling here, so Varus' Riddle's text is, when revealed, initiate the when revealed ability on a revealed non-riddle plot card as if you had just revealed it. And the text on Summer Harvest is, when revealed, choose an opponent X is two higher than the printed gold value on that opponent's revealed plot card, and it has a gold value of X. So the gist of it is that if you reveal Summer Harvest and your opponent reveals Varus' Riddle, they have 6 initiative, you have 4 initiative, so without initiative modifiers, they get to choose who goes first. If they go first and have your plot go first, you must choose them as the opponent, and then that sets your X value to be 7. And then they initiate your when revealed as if they had just revealed it, and which then changes the X value on your plot card to be 2 higher than your printed gold value, which is X, which is treated as 0 when printed, so you get 2 gold instead of 7. The reason I don't like this ruling is that you're modifying the X value on someone else's card. And that just doesn't make any sense to me. I understand that you are technically initiating the one revealed ability that is on Summer Harvest, but you're initiating it as if you had revealed Summer Harvest. So there is somehow a distinction that it's as if you revealed it, but you're modifying another card, and it just doesn't really make sense to me. And
as if you were literally using that copy right. of that card, rather than the way that most people kind of think of that when you copy something like, say, Close Call. Folks, I think, tend to think of it as Vera's Riddle becomes its own copy
right.
of that card, right? Yeah, I understand where they're coming from, but I do agree that I'm a little unhappy about the application, and I think questions.
Well, because right.
that it's likely to cause for folks that haven't right. already.
I mean, like, in my mind, Varys' Riddle, what it seems like to me is that it's as if you revealed Summer Harvest. And if you're in a melee and two people flip Summer Harvest, can you modify your opponent's X value with your Summer Harvest when revealed? Like, is that how that works? Or can you only modify your own X value? Because if you can only modify your own X value, it feels like with Varys' Riddle, you shouldn't be able to modify your opponent's X value. And it just doesn't make sense to me, but...
Oh, wow. You know, I have not seen...
I don't think anybody has discussed that as far as I've seen, but...
If I had to go out on a limb here, I would say it is similar to some issues that we had in first edition, where if you potentially brought a character back out of your opponent's dead pile to your side of the board, what was it? No. It was... It was using Jacken, wasn't it? The Shadows Jacken that would remove them and then duplicate their abilities. But then suddenly self-referential text was no longer self-referential because he didn't have the title of that card and was never allowed to gain it. So if you, say, copied, let's pick an easy example like the Red Viper that said the Red Viper is immune to events, then what would happen is your Jacken is not immune, but if your opponent played a copy of a different Viper that normally was not immune to events, that Red Viper became immune to events. So suddenly it was no longer self-referential. My guess is that's how this various stuff wound up coming
out. It's just such a weird situation, and I don't like it, and I don't like that it nerfs Summer Harvest significantly, because if you flip it into a Varys' Riddle, you're in a lot of trouble, because they have 5 gold and you have 2. So it's really not great, but that's the ruling and that's how it is, so I'm just gonna have to live with it and just flip our second Summer Harvest and hope they don't play a second Varys' Riddle.
Exactly. So I think overall I'm pretty happy with this deck. Enough I'd be tempted to put it together and play it out a little bit. I'm always looking for Tyrell stuff to fiddle with.
I think it's actually pretty strong deck. I think it's worth mentioning quickly. We kind of touched on it briefly about the pack 3 cards and how they are involved with this deck. For me personally, Renly is an easy 3 of in this, and basically all Tyrell decks. I am firmly on Team Renly. I think he is an amazing card, and he's not Tywin, he's not Robert, but he is a very strong 7 coster. I think he's better than a lot of people are giving him credit for. I think he's better than most of the seven cost characters in this game. I think he, I think he's really strong, and I think he's going to be a three of in this deck.
Yeah, no, I agree. He slots in here pretty much immediately. I think we'll use up more time than we have if we were to try to examine what we would pull and swap around.
I agree.
For him,
yeah.
At the moment, because I feel pretty good about.
I mean, I know that my first cut is Littlefinger, but
yeah, but that only frees up one.
Yeah.
So then, what?
Well,
do
you know,
more?
We'll cross that bridge when we come to it. And also, Crown of Golden Roses is the other Tyrell card. And I think that might find a way in here as a one of, but maybe not. It's definitely worth a look. It's a very good card with Randall. That's definitely one to look and see. And it kind of depends on how much King Tech people are running and how helpful it's going to be to you in that regard.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the jury's still out on King Tech for me right now. But we'll kind of see what happens. I think the deck is where we can go ahead and turn it over to the listeners, have them tell us, what they would do differently, like cutting the arbor,
not cutting the arbor because it's definitely the way to go.
Yeah. And slops. All right. Well then, what do you got this week, Patrick? You haven't been on in a while, so
I haven't.
You gotta have a doozy. Right?
Let's see. Props to Fallout 4. I went back and played Fallout 4 the last couple weeks.
Ooh, yeah.
Still good. The new DLC, Nuka World, just came out, and it's a very fun DLC. I've been enjoying the heck out of it.
I've not gotten into that yet. Nice.
What else do I have? Props to school. I'm back in school. Back in the old college. Pretty good semester so far. Two days down.
Hey, all right.
It's going pretty well. What else I got? Anything to slop? Slops to the heat. It's been really hot here. I'm sure it's been even hotter down where you are, but it's just been so like muggy and humid here. It's just gross.
Yeah, it's been muggy here as well. It was 92 today, and you know, I'm not sure what the humidity was, but it was
too much. Is what the humidity was.
Yeah.
Too darn much. Well, what about you? You got any props and slops?
Still fighting plumbing issues over here, so I think that's still worth
still slop worthy.
Yeah. Let's see, what else have we got going on? Not too much else. Picked up a new novel. I'm not sure I'm far enough through it yet to really make a call, but it's called 12 Kings and Sharakai, and it's kind of a Arabian Thousand and One Tales-esque world. So I'm kind of digging that. Also, I think I'd probably throw out some props to the 7th Sea RPG, which is a actual pen and paper and dice RPG that a buddy of mine had worked on, had a very successful Kickstarter. Actually, a couple guys I knew worked on it. And we got to create some characters instead of play D&D last week and kind of walk through a scene. And I really dig, I mean, the world's amazing, but I really kind of dig the system so far. So I'm excited to try more of that. If anybody really wants a storytelling experience out of their RPGs, I highly recommend it.
And the Game of Thrones RPG, the paper RPG, is actually really good as well. I have been I've been running a campaign in that for the entire summer now at this point, and it's been a lot of fun. Yeah.
Oh, nice. Is that what you were doing instead of coming on here?
No. That I was working instead of coming on here. But to be fair, I only could request two nights off. One of them was for my Game of Thrones playing, and the other was for that game instead of the podcast. So a little bit, yes, that was what I was doing instead of coming on here. So,
wow.
Sorry.
I thought you were going to dodge it, but it turns out you were still kind of in
the... I got to be honest with the listeners. I got to be honest. So,
Danger Zone?
Slops to me, I guess. You went all robot-y and I couldn't hear you. One might say that you were in the danger zone.
I bet I was. I think that closes another chapter of the White Book.